How are we all going? There it is. All right. How's our Father's Day been, fathers and father figures? Good. That's good. Mine's been pretty good as well. So obviously today we're gathering on a special occasion of Father's Day to celebrate the role of fathers in our lives and also in our faith, right? So as I was preparing for today, I decided to do something that I don't normally do, which is I do some research, but what I don't normally do is research something that I probably take for granted, Father's Day. I don't think I've ever looked into the story of Father's Day, but I decided to learn a bit more. So here are some Father's Day fun facts. The first Father's Day was celebrated in 1910, so it's over 100 years old now. It was celebrated first in America, of all places. It was actually invented by a woman, a daughter, who tragically lost her mother young, and the dad took care of all six of her siblings, all six of the children, by himself until they had families of their own. Father's Day actually does have an official flower, the rose, of course, the natural father's emblem. And the date on which we celebrate Father's Day in Australia was chosen in 1964, not in Australia at all, in the UK, but that's right, we follow them. I didn't know many of these facts. Did anyone else? No? Does anyone have a good Father's Day fact before we move on? No? That's all right. I didn't either until this week. But I didn't know a whole lot about Father's Day growing up. I didn't actually have, as some of you may know, a great childhood with my father. He was a large reason for a pretty not great childhood growing up. He was a bit of an angry man, a bit of a distant man at times, and eventually he left. And so for a long time there, I found Father's Day quite hard, and so I didn't really have much interest in it. Eventually, I did heal through that with the help of some quite amazing people and men around. But what I'm trying to say in that is that Father's Day does look different for a lot of people. For Father's Day, for some, it might look a bit like it did for me growing up, where it's a bit painful, it's a bit hard. Maybe the father in your life didn't show you love the way he probably should have. Perhaps it's the exact opposite, and you get to celebrate Father's Day as the way it should be, a great celebration of and a fantastic person in your life. Maybe Father's Day used to be that celebration for you, but now it just brings back painful memories and of joyful times with a father who's passed away. Or perhaps what you might have done is what I eventually did, which is choose someone else to be that father figure in your life to celebrate on this day instead. And it can also look different for fathers as well, not just as you reflect on your own father, but for people who are soon to be fathers, people who are going to be fathers again soon. And it's a very different and diverse day for many people. So I'm not sure what Father's Day looks like for you today, but I do know something about fathers and Father's Day, which is that fathers and father's figures have a profound impact on your children, not only in their upbringing, but also in their spiritual and emotional journey as they grow. And that's a big thing. It's a pretty huge thing to hear. If you haven't really thought about it before, maybe it's a bit confronting, because I know for pretty much any parent I've asked and spoken to about this, most parents have a moment, at least one, where they think, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on here, or how to move forward, or anything like it. And so to know that you're responsible as a parent for these young people, it can be hard and difficult to know. But we've got some good news today, which is that, as Phil alluded to, a lot of you might have more experience than me in this space, but I'm not relying on what I know, but what our Heavenly Father shows us, that God is a father that gives us a blueprint of what he would like us to do as parents, but also as fathers here on earth. So today we're going to explore this blueprint a bit, these ideas and elements of God shown in the Bible of what fathers should be like. Sometimes, like I said, we don't get to see this in our experience of fathers, but hopefully it helps fathers, those to be fathers, and also children of fathers, which should be most of us here today. So let's dive deeper into that first aspect of our Heavenly Father's blueprint for dads, which is being a provider and protector. I think we often think of dads as providers and protectors. God is the ultimate provider, a caring father who anticipates our needs. In Matthew 6:31-33, Jesus teaches, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Just as God knows our needs, fathers and father figures should strive to understand and meet the needs of their families, embodying the principle of provision and care that is the example that's being given by a heavenly Father. Now, the interesting thing that society tends to get wrong is that providing doesn't mean just putting food on a table or a roof over some heads. Although that's part of it, it also means creating an environment where your family feels secure and loved. And if we think about it, when children see their fathers working hard to provide, it teaches them the value of hard work and responsibility. It shows them their needs are being met, which in turn allows them to focus on the good things that kids need to focus on, which is growing and learning. There's a verse in 1 Timothy, which is in chapter 5, it's verse 8, that sums it up. "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." To God, it's important that we as fathers, as parents, that we provide, that we look after our family, not just as a duty, but as our reflection of our faith in a God who loves us. And like I said, it's not just about those material things, though. It's also about emotional support. Your family needs emotional presence just as much as they need financial security or a place to stay. When you provide emotional support, you're creating a safe space for your loved ones to express their feelings, hopes, and fears. And this, in turn, strengthens your relationship as a family and your bonds together. The next aspect is a provider. God is our protector, shields us from harm, and guides us through life's trials. Psalm 91:4 assures us, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find a refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." Just as God is our refuge, fathers are called to be protectors for their families. In Ephesians 6:4, it urges fathers not to provoke their children, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Through their protective presence, fathers provide a safe haven and guidance, reflecting God's role as our ultimate protector in our family's lives. Now, this protection is a physical aspect. Fathers are often ones that try and ensure the safety of their homes physically, ensuring that maybe, you know, they lock the doors at night or whatever it may be. And they take on those what are seen as dad duties of maybe fixing stairs or anything that might get in the way. This practical protection shows your family that you're willing to do whatever it takes to keep them secure. However, again, emotionally, fathers play a significant role in providing a sense of security. You're the one your kids turn to when they're scared of the dark or maybe worried about a big test. Your comforting presence teaches them that there's someone they can always count on. And let's not forget about our spiritual protection as well. Just as God leads us on our righteous path, fathers guide their families in a matter of faith and morality often. You're like a spiritual GPS, helping your family navigate life's moral dilemmas and spiritual questions. A verse from Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." This reminds us that God, just as God provides for our needs, fathers should strive to ensure that their families lack nothing essential as well. So fathers and father figures, remember that your role as provider and protector isn't just about putting food on a table, but it's about providing a loving and caring environment so that your family can grow, learn, and flourish as well. The second element of God as father is disciplinarian and a guide. So we can take a bit of a look at that. And although it sounds like a stern or maybe confronting idea, disciplinarian, it's actually God uses this as a way to show love and concern for his children. Hebrews 12:6 reinforces this idea, saying, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Just as God disciplines us for growth and betterment, fathers should discipline their children out of love and care. Proverbs 3:11-12 adds, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father in whom he delights." This shows that discipline, when rooted in love, guides children towards the path of wisdom and righteousness. Discipline isn't just about punishment, it's about teaching your children right from wrong, helping them develop self-control and instilling values that will guide them throughout life. Your discipline, when done with love and consistency, can be a powerful force for shaping your children's character. It helps them understand the consequences of their actions, both good and bad, teaches responsibility and accountability. But discipline should never be harsh or punitive. It's about correction, not condemnation. Just as God forgives us when we repent, fathers should offer forgiveness and a path to redemption when their children make mistakes. God, as a guide, he's frequently portrayed as a shepherd. And if you don't know what a shepherd does, they lead sheep. They move them to better places, to better safety. And so this idea of God as our guide, we can see also in Psalm 23. And it's beautifully stated if you've never read it before. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." In the same way, fathers are encouraged to fulfill a guiding role within their family. Ephesians 6:4 again emphasizes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Here the concept of guidance is illuminated quite clearly, I think. Just as our Heavenly Father directs us along righteous paths, fathers are called to lead their children by example, nurturing them in faith and virtue. And if we think about it this way, your children are like ships setting sail on a vast sea of life, and you're their compass. Your guidance helps them navigate these challenges that always come up in life, making wise decisions and helping them stay on course. Hebrews 12:7 tells us, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for children are not disciplined by their father." This verse underscores the idea that guidance and discipline go hand in hand. Just as God guides us through the hardships of life, fathers should offer guidance to their children when they face challenges. As fathers, we have a privilege of sharing wisdom and life experience with our children. We can teach them about faith and morality and values and all the things we've experienced in life. We can help them discern right from wrong. And your guidance doesn't just shape their decision, it shapes their character and ultimately their destiny. In a world filled with distractions and temptation, your role as a guide becomes even more critical. You help your children understand their purpose and their identity as people who are loved, just as God does for us. You lead them toward a life that aligns with God's principles. So I ask that fathers and father figures embrace their role as disciplinarians and as guides for young people with love, patience, and wisdom. And that to remember that discipline is supposed to be rooted in love and understanding to help your children grow, just like God's discipline and is for us. And to underscore this, there is an aspect of our Heavenly Father's role as a father for us that is crucially important. And that is unconditional love, which is a father's best gift. Reflecting on God's love is a profound exercise, because it is unwavering, it is boundless, and it is unconditional. In Romans 8:38-39, the Apostle Paul states, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." This scripture shows us this beautiful example of the unshakable nature of God's love for us. And just as God's love remains steadfast regardless of what we do or our actions or anything else, fathers are called to love their children unconditionally. In imitating God's love, fathers provide that safe and nurturing environment where their children can flourish, secure in the knowledge that they are cherished, irrespective of their deeds or misdeeds. In 1 Corinthians 13, which is often called the love chapter of the Bible, we find a beautiful description of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. As fathers and father figures, we're called to embody this kind of love in our relationships, especially with your children. So I want to break down briefly what those things mean. A patient love. Just as God patiently waits for us to come to him, fathers should be patient with their children. Children make mistakes, and they can be very challenging at times. But your patience teaches them the values of tolerance and forgiveness. Kind love. Kindness is like a soothing balm to the soul. Fathers, your act of kindness, from a gentle word to a comforting hug, mirror the kindness God shows us daily. Love that doesn't keep score. Love doesn't keep a tally of wrongs, and neither should we. Forgiveness is a vital aspect of unconditional love. When you forgive your children's mistake, you show them the power of grace. Protection through love. Love is protective. It shields, nurtures, and provides a safe haven. Just as God loves us and protects us, fathers should protect their children from harm, both physical and emotional. Always trusting and always hoping. Fathers should trust in their children's potential. Even in the moments of doubt, your belief in them can be the wind beneath their wings, inspiring to reach further and go higher in their potential, even if they didn't think they could do it. And perseverance in love. Love endures beyond everything. It doesn't give up, even when things are tough. Fathers, your perseverance through life challenges sets an example for your children to follow. The power of acceptance. One of the most significant ways fathers can mirror God's unconditional love is through acceptance. Just as God accepts us as we are, fathers should accept their children, flaws and all. Your children need to know that they are loved and valued, not based on their achievements, but simply because they are your children. Acceptance doesn't mean condoning every behavior, though, or every choice. It means embracing your children even when they make mistakes. It means being a safe place for them to turn to when they are struggling. It means listening without judgment and offering guidance with compassion. Unconditional love leaves a mark on your children's hearts. It shapes their self-esteem, their understanding of relationships going forward, and even their perception of God. When fathers love their children unconditionally, they provide a solid foundation for emotional and spiritual growth. This kind of love sets the stage for your children to understand God's love. They learn that just as their earthly father loves them without conditions, their heavenly father loves them infinitely more. Your love becomes a bridge to help them grasp the depths of God's love for them. Presence and engagement is another thing that we see from God as he engages with his children. God's ever-presence, or omnipotence and omnipresence, is a comforting truth in our faith. In Psalm 139, 7-10, it beautifully expressed, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." This passage underscores the unwavering presence and guidance of God in our lives. No matter where we are or what we face, no matter what we do, this attribute of God provides a powerful example for fathers on how to be present and engaged in the lives of their children. Now, we're going potentially over time, so I'll try and push through a bit quicker. But there are different aspects of presence and engagement. There's being physically present, which unfortunately you might not get to do as much as you want. So what I would encourage you to do is when you do have those moments of being physically present, is to make them count. Quality over quantity. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. So when you are there, make it a clear message that you matter to your children and that you want to be a part of their life. It's not just about being physically present, but about being emotionally available to them while you're there. So put down your phone, turn off the TV, whatever it might be, and truly engage with your children. Listen to their stories, ask about their day, and show genuine interest in their lives. You can also teach through your presence. In Matthew 28:20, it says, Jesus promises, "And I'm surely with you to the end of the age." This promise reminds us that a presence in our life is important. As fathers, we have that unique opportunity to teach our children about God's constant presence by modeling it in our own relationship. We also have emotional presence. Emotional presence goes beyond that physical proximity. It's about creating an atmosphere of openness and trust within your family. When your children feel safe sharing their fears, dreams, and mistakes with you, it deepens your emotional connection. Your emotional presence allows you to understand your children on a deeper level, enabling you to provide comfort during those difficult times. And this is perhaps one of my biggest challenges, and perhaps one faced by other dads, I'm not sure. But our actions, and perhaps more importantly, our reactions, what do they tell our children about this idea of being present? Sometimes our reaction to mistakes and not wise choices can tell them that we're not open, we're not available, and we're not present with them in their journey. They are children, they will make mistakes, and they are very challenging at times. But it is our choice as adults and as fathers and parents or carers that we are the one responsible of making that environment happen. Lastly, we want to talk about empowering and encouragement. We see God as this supreme encourager and power, deeply rooted in Scripture. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it is written, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." This verse shows us God's roles in empowering us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, sealing us power to fulfill our purpose. In mirroring God's encouragement and empowerment, fathers can nurture their children's unique talents and gifts, encourage them to pursue their calling, and use their abilities to honor God. Just as God equips us for his divine purpose, fathers empower their children to fulfill their potential and make an impact on the world. When we empower our children's dreams, you're telling them that you believe in their abilities. You're showing them that they have the potential to achieve their goals. And this empowerment doesn't mean pushing your own aspiration on them. It means helping them discover and pursue their own dreams. And there's a few ways we can kind of do this. Affirmation through words. Words have an incredible, incredible power. Just as God speaks words of affirmation and love over us, fathers should use their words to encourage and uplift rather than cut down. Your words of affirmation build your children's self-esteem and provide them with a strong foundation. We can help them foster resilience. Life, unfortunately, is full of ups and full of downs, and your role as a father is to prepare your children for both success and failure with resilience. God's encouragement and empowerment helps us navigate life's challenges, and fathers can do the same with their children. We just support their passions. God has given each of us unique passions and talents, and if you're a father of more than one, you can clearly see that they are very different from the beginning. And we are to encourage that and support that, taking an interest in their different hobbies and attending different performances or games or whatever it may be to support them. We can teach them independence. It goes beyond just teaching your children how to be, but also how to think and act on their own. Because unfortunately, that day will come when you don't get to spend as much time with them as you want to. We're to encourage them to take on age-appropriate responsibilities, perhaps, and learn from their choices, both good and bad. And finally, encouragement leaves a legacy behind. Your role as an encourager and power leaves a lasting legacy. When you empower and encourage your children, you equip them not only for success, but for life, and a life full of purpose and impact. So, as we conclude our exploration of our Heavenly Father's kind of blueprint for what we want to see, I want to take a moment to recognize and extend, I guess, a message of hope and healing to those who have struggled with their fathers in the past. We recognize that what we've just gone through and what we've just talked about is not the reality for many, many people. And wounds from those relationships can run deep. However, the good news is that we have a Heavenly Father whose love is perfect, unwavering, and capable of healing all wounds. God's unconditional love, regardless of your past experience with an earthly father, know that God's love is unconditionally available to you. In Romans 5:8, it is written, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God's love is not based on your choices or actions, your performance or your past. It's based on his grace and unchanging character and love for you. The power of forgiveness. Forgiveness can be a profound source of healing. Just as God forgives us when we repent, consider extending forgiveness to your earthly father, no matter the extent of the hurt. And the reason I can say this is because I've been there. I've had to go through it. And what I encourage you to think of forgiveness is not necessarily making a relationship happen or forcing it to happen again when there's still hurt and pain. Unfortunately, I haven't seen my father for 20 years, but I've forgiven him for all he's done. So what I would encourage you to do is forgive. It's to remove the burden of pain from you, not necessarily to force a relationship with someone unwilling to be in a relationship. Through God, we get to experience a new father-child relationship. Through faith in Christ, we have the opportunity to gain a co-childship with Jesus, to be under God's fatherhood. In Galatians 4:6-7, it reads, "Because you are his sons," or his children, "God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you a heir also. In God, you can find the perfect father who guides, who loves, and who heals you from everything." And the last thing I would like to mention is the healing power of prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool for healing and reconciliation. So take your pain, your struggles, and your desire for healing to God in prayer. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." So for those who have experienced fatherly wounds and struggles, know that you're not alone. God offers healing, redemption, and the possibility of a restored relationship with him as your father instead. His love knows no bounds, and his grace is sufficient to bring healing to the deepest wounds. So I'd ask you to consider God as a potential father for you today. Now, I always like leaving it a bit of a challenge, as we probably all know. This challenge is pretty simple today. Did I not put the slide in? Oh, that's right. All right, the clicker was not going right. That's right. I would ask you to demonstrate some practical love towards someone special today. Like I said, it doesn't have to be your father. If you've got a father that you're connected with, absolutely go for it. But also on the opposite side of that, dads to their children or husbands to wives, whatever it may be, show some practical love today. That's truly what today is about, is recognizing love in its many different forms and recognizing those special people in our lives. So that might look different to you. Maybe you've already done it. Maybe you've got a head start. Who knows? But show some practical love. I would ask you to reflect on what we've kind of discussed and the different aspects of Father's Day that might be hard for you, the different aspects of Father's Day that might be really easy for you as well, as we go into a song of worship and reflection. So if you can stand, I would ask you to stand.